People look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the Psalms to find out who they are. With the Psalms, we bring into awareness an ancient sorrow, we release a latent joy, and we use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and thoroughly as we are able. It was a quote I shared with you last week from the InterVarsity website. Last week, we began our exploration of the Psalms by considering a psalm of lament, and indeed we lamented together. I said last week that lamenting was something that we as a church have got out of the habit of doing, but something that can be helpful. Today, we continue with a psalm of praise, back in a more comfortable style of worship, I suggest. Our psalm we heard is a prayer of praise, praising God for being there, praising God for his protection. The psalm speaks to me of a protector God, a God in whom we can find refuge when the going gets tough, the world is crowding in, and the pressure is on. And this psalm is spoken by someone who trusts God, has confidence in God. This isn't a psalm crying out for help, rather one where the writer calls out to God in praise. It's not a joyous praise, but more of a thankful praise, because the writer isn't necessarily in a good place, but he knows God is with them, and he places his confidence in knowing that. The words he used reflect this confidence. He talks about the stronghold the Lord has made, and the psalmist declares that he will fear no one. He will never be afraid, believing that the Lord protects me from all danger. Hopefully, at some stage, all of us have encountered such confidence and assurance. Certainly, hymn after hymn that we sing in church encourages us to sing as the psalmist says he should sing. Think about blessed assurance. We have an anchor, steadfast and sure. Courage, brother, sister, do not stumble. Repeatedly, Christians have praised God for the strength he gives, the courage he inspires. Because we all experience tough times, times when we must wonder if we can ever climb out of the dark pit we find ourselves in. And it's at these times we really can trust God to be there for us. But we have to have the confidence to acknowledge this and then receive the blessed relief his presence gives. These dark places can often turn into what we experience as a thin place, a time when the nearness of God is as close as it gets. And one writer explains this very well, the Reverend Dr. Agnes Norfleet. In a sermon she wrote on this psalm, she explains the Celtic idea of thin places. The early Celtic people who lived in the British Isles believed that they could go to certain places to be closer to God. And these places have long been called thin places. Thin places are geographical locations scattered throughout Ireland and Scotland where a person experiences only a very thin divide between the past, present, and future. Now that's referring to physical places. But she goes on to say this: what is significant about sacred places that they turn out not to be the places themselves that are important. Their power lies within their role in marshalling our inner resources and binding us to our beliefs. While places can bind us to our beliefs, so can memory. A piece of music, a special story, a word spoken just at the right time. And my guess is, if we think about it, most of us have experienced a thin place in which we can remember God seeming very close and very real. There are certain passages of scripture that are especially helpful in transporting us to a special place with God in our time, she continues. The words and images of Psalm 27 lead us to such a place, a kind of thin place where human and divine meet in a beautiful closeness. The psalmist knew all about thin places. He had experienced them and has the confidence to seek them out. How many of us ever seek out a thin place? A place where we can be as close to God as we can be. Some people find church is the place that that happens most. Perhaps during worship, or perhaps even sitting quietly in church. Our psalm refers to living in the Lord's house and expresses a desire to live there all their life. The psalmist is, of course, referring to the temple in Jerusalem. And it was thought, the Jews of ancient Israel thought and believed that God was in that temple, that that's where he was found, where he was worshipped. Now, we have a very different understanding. God's not contained in a box or a room or even a building, because God cannot be contained in a box, a room, or a building. But that said, often our thin place will be here in this building. But I wonder if that's because that's where we put God, compartmentalizing him so that this is the only place that we go looking for him. What we miss when we do that, because God is out there and in here. Another writer, Dorothy Bass, writes, often we ask one another, how was your day? I imagine all parents of school-aged children have greeted their child with that question, how was your day? Or one very much like it. It's a kind of question that usually comes from someone who really cares, but is often met with a very vague response like, not bad. And then she tells a story of a mother who she knows who had quite a different way of asking the question. As she tucks her children into bed each night, their teeth brushed and their hair still damp from the bathtub, she asks them this question, where did you meet God today? And they tell her, one by one, a teacher helped me. There was a homeless person in the park. I saw a tree with lots of flowers on it. And she tells them where she met God too. Before the children drop off to sleep, the stuff of their day has become the substance of prayer. They've entered a thin place, and the presence of God is very near. Finding thin places can be difficult. More often than not, thin places find us. Finding God takes practice. So here's a challenge for you all this week. Make a conscious effort every day, at the end of it, to look back over your day and think where the thin places might have been. Those places where you've seen God or felt his presence, what sights, what sounds, even what smells speak to you of God's presence? And I think you'll be surprised how often this is. As well as sensing God's presence, one of the other themes in Psalm 27 is a sense of protection, the being safe in God's presence that the psalmist has. We know from last week's Psalm of Lament that David, the psalmist, experienced real pressures. He was the king, but that didn't save him from doubts and worries. Worries that in last week's Psalm of Lament, he cries out to God about. In Psalm 27, we sense not so much lament about his worries, but comfort and confidence in knowing that God has his light and his salvation, and because of this, he will fear no one. The Lord will protect him and he will never be afraid. No matter what happens to him, he will trust God. A small child with his blankie or teddy will hug these tight when upset and worried. A sense of being safe with the familiar, the thing that centers them and makes things better. A trust that all will be well. And this is the place that the psalmist is with God. God is his comforter. Despite all that's going on in his life, all that is wrong with his life, God is his comforter and protector. The lesson we can take from this psalm is that we never give up on God. Easier than said than done, I know. Life throws us all kinds of curveballs and even full-on smacks in the face. But God is there with you. In that moment with you, for God is always in a thin place with us. He isn't a distant, far-off God. He's a very present, close-up kind of God. I have a wee book that I bought many years ago, and it's a funny little book about a little girl and a young man who found her wandering in the streets of London, having seemingly run away from home. And he takes her home to his family, and they look after her and they care for her. They try and find out where she came from, although from her battered little body, they really don't want her going back to where she came from. In the book, the man Flynn and the wee girl Anna have many conversations about God, or Mr. God, as she calls him. And so I want to read you one of those little conversations, and we can all learn something from Anna and her view of Mr. God. So I'm reading from this book. It's just a simple little book, Mr. God. This is Anna, this little passage. Mr. God made everything, didn't he? There's no point in saying I don't really know, so I said yes. Even the dirt and the stars and the animals and the people and the trees and everything, and the polywogs. The polywogs were those little creatures we'd seen under the microscope. I said yes, he made everything. She nodded her agreement. Does Mr. God love us truly? Sure thing, I said. Mr. God loves everything. Oh, she said. Well then, why does he let things get hurt and dead? Her voice sounded as if she felt she'd been betrayed, a secret trust. But the question had been thought and it had to be spoken. I don't know, I replied. There's a great many things about Mr. God we don't know about. Well then, she continued, if we don't know many things about Mr. God, how do we know he loves us? I could see that this was going to be one of those times, but thank goodness she didn't expect an answer to her question, for she hurried on, them polywogs, I could love them till I bust, but they wouldn't know, would they? I'm million times bigger than they are, and Mr. God is million times bigger than me. So how do I know that what Mr. God does? She was silent for a little while, and later I thought that at this moment she was taking her last look at babyhood. And then she went on, Finn, Mr. God doesn't love us, she hesitated. He doesn't really, you know, only people can love. I love Bossy, but Bossy doesn't love me. I love the polywogs, but they don't love me. I love you, Finn, and you love me, don't you? I tightened my arm around her. You love me because you are people. I love Mr. God truly, but he doesn't love me. It sounded to me like a death knell. Damn and blast, I thought. Why does this have to happen to people? Now she's lost everything. But I was wrong. She had got both feet planted firmly on the next stepping stone. No, she went on. He doesn't love me. Not like you do. It's different. It's millions of times bigger. I must have made some movement or noise, for she levered herself upright and sat on her hunches and giggled. And then she launched herself at me and undid my little pang of hurt, cut out the useless spark of jealousy with the delicate sureness of a surgeon. Finn, you can love me better than any people that ever was, and so can I, can't I? But Mr. God is different. You see, Finn, people can only love outside and can only kiss outside, but Mr. God can love you right inside, and Mr. God can kiss you right inside, so it's different. Mr. God ain't like us. We are a little bit like Mr. God, but not much yet. Anna had, up until she'd met Finn, lived quite a hellish life. And yet she held on to a belief in God who loved her, not as we might love one another, but Mr. God can love you right inside, and Mr. God can kiss you right inside. She had lived in a thin space most of her life, and God was her protector. Our psalmist had lived a varied life and is at this point in a thin place, and in his thin place finds the protection of God. Whatever our thin places are, whatever we face in life, give praise to God in the tough times as well as the good times. The hard places as well as the easy places will bring us closer to him, making it more possible for us to feel his love right inside. To finish, I want to share a meditation on Psalm 27 from Sylvia Purdy, a Presbyterian minister from New Zealand. My God is my light. My God is my saviour. Why be afraid? My God is my safety. My God is my home. I won't be afraid. Sure, I might get teased, I might get hurt, but I don't need to be scared. Okay, people will call me names and will try to bully me, but I will stand tall. Some days are bad days, that's okay. Some people say nasty things, that's okay, because I am hidden with Jesus in the safest place, in the arms of God, like sleeping in a tent, like standing high in a tall rock, where nothing can get me. With God's care around me, I will sing and dance and shout for joy. With God's face shining on me, I will be patient through bad days. I will be strong. Take courage, my heart. Lean on God. People look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the Psalms to find out who they are. With the Psalms, we bring into awareness an ancient sorrow, we release a latent joy. We use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and as thoroughly as we are able. Amen.